Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to the sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Well, do turn in your Bible this morning, please, to Colossians chapter 3. And I am dwelling a little. Today I want to look at the entire first 17 verses. So much here, I believe, that is of value. So Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 17. Let me just pray again. Lord, we want to come this morning, and even as we've been singing, that you would speak. But Lord, speak so that we, Lord, hear, that we have responses that are, Lord, in accordance with that which would be pleasing to you. And Lord, even edifying to us as individuals, and especially as we consider the matter of relationships today, different relationships that exist, whether it be in the home, in the marriage, amongst families, or even in the church community. Give us much wisdom, we pray, as we do this today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a couple of comments, or just a few sentences, really, I want to say before I read the passage. I was somewhat surprised after studying this passage to see that certain jobs, certain vocations could help me understand, and I'm hoping help you understand and apply this passage today. If we think about these particular jobs and what they entail, and even as I've indicated in my prayer, it's going to help us in our relationships. And relationships often need attention. I think that's just the reality of life. We are people that are different. We have different preferences. Sometimes we have different perspectives in the way we see things. And so there can be challenges, whether it be in the home or perhaps even in the church or amongst the broader family or even as a citizen. I'm hoping that these vocations, and we'll get to them just now, are easily remembered handles that would help us in our effort to grow in what ought to be godly relationships. So having said that, now turn or follow with me in your Bible. We're going to do a little bit of a recap as well from last week. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Yet there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. And above all these put on love, which binds everything together in Christ. And the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So just so far, to begin, I want to just think about, get us thinking about two questions. Two important questions, and something we ought to keep in mind as we move through this passage, and especially again regarding relationships. My first question is, why do relationships fail? I'm sure you have observed that happens. Perhaps it's even happened to you. And again, we don't have to look very far. One report I saw on Google on the heading Celebrity Breakups, Emma Stone dumped Andrew Garfield because he cheated. So there's a reason. Betrayal often happens in the context of relationships. But there are many other reasons. I don't think any of us would be surprised to know that physical violence between husbands and wives, perhaps even parents and children, emotional abuse, just manipulating and really affecting the other person's emotional well-being. Sometimes it's disappointment. You have expectations from a particular relationship and those are just shattered, and so disappointment overtakes. I've seen as well that belittling someone who is close to you, it breaks the relationship down. Is being filled with critical attitudes or selfishness, and so the list goes on. Loss of trust, communication, bad communication, lack of respect, and even the issue of little intimacy. So relationships fail because of reasons. There are reasons why they fail. It and we'll see as this passage unfolds how these can be addressed. My second question is, can relationships succeed? Is it possible to experience harmony, harmonious, loving relationships where it doesn't require one or the other to be exploited, where one wins and the other loses? Is it possible that in a marriage and family and community life, relationships can be meaningful and happy? And my answer to that up front is, relationships can succeed. They can succeed. They do succeed. And again, as we turn to this passage, God shows us how this can take place. I want you to take notes. It's very easy to misinterpret this passage. If you have a look at verse 18, and verse 18 begins to give you some specifics on in terms of wives and husbands and children and slaves and so on and so on. But that doesn't stand in isolation. That's the mistake. It stands in the context of verses, well, all of what comes before, but particularly these verses in chapter 3, 1 to 17. So the pursuit of godly living will bring about, will result in relationships that are far more harmonious and meaningful. And so let me now move on to my vocations. A little bit of repetition here. Your relationships will grow in harmony and joy when you learn from the work of an astronomer. Okay, so I want to define astronomy. Barton, you can tell me if I'm right. But astronomy is a natural science which is the study of celestial objects such as stars and galaxies and planets and moons and asteroids, comets and nebula. Okay, so we all know now what an astronomer is. The point is that an astronomer looks up and away from himself to bigger things in faraway places. Am I right? Sort of right. Okay. What does that mean for us? You see, the astronomer knows that the world, this earth, is not the only place that exists. The astronomer knows that the city of Pretoria is not the only city in the country. He knows, or she knows, that there is still so much that is unexplored and that there is so much to learn. And so the magnificence of the beauty of the universe, the unexplored universe, stars and planets, men and women spend their lives looking up, learning with their minds filled with awe, it moves them to sink their energies into discovering more and more of this unexplored greatness. Now, what's that got to do with our passage? You see, Paul says here there is something bigger, there is something greater and infinitely more glorious than stars and planets. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And this is what I touched on last week in terms of the very essence of life, that life does not consist of just this context of the immediate. And I want to quote what I quoted last week. It may be sufficient to capture the dog's attention and affection with a bone. He will be delighted and satisfied. But the truth be said, bones and earth and even the city of Pretoria will not do for you as a human being, for me as a human being, because we're made in the image of God. God has made you, He's made us for something bigger, infinitely bigger, which is to know Him and to worship Him and to be satisfied in Him. And we explore that forever. Because you can never come to the end of discovering the reality of this infinite and eternal God. This God who is majestic and glorious. And so we are wired. God has made us. He has made us, our desires, our longings, with this need to comprehend and to apprehend a vision of the glory of God. This book, Colossians, focuses in on Jesus. And again, just to go back to the passage in chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And I've said before in this, from this pulpit, that we're living in an age where we have domesticated God. We've made God small. We think of God as accommodating us. Instead of us exploring and discovering and thinking of that statement of setting our minds on things above, where Christ is seated, where He reigns, where He rules, where He's unfolding history. Just the history as we know it is a slither in terms of eternity before and eternity past. Isn't it true that our natural inclination is to focus on the immediate, on small things, on fleeting things, and to focus often on self? And these things come and these things go. God doesn't. And so, quote a hymn. I think we're going to sing this hymn just now. It's a hymn by James McGranahan. He learned this lesson of seeking things that are above. An astronomer. Be like an astronomer where Christ is seated. This is how the hymn goes. O Christ, in Thee my soul hath found, and found in Thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Other things simply won't satisfy. Now none, the chorus goes, now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in Thee. Perhaps I could even go on with some of these other verses. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearned for them and not Thee. But while I passed my Savior by, His love laid hold of me. Do you get the picture? This is, people are striving and searching and longing and ignoring God, but the reality of the grace of God intervening. Another verse. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. And the last verse, the pleasures lost I sadly mourned, but never wept for Thee, till grace the sightless eyes received, Thy loveliness to see. And so in your relationships, to look beyond yourself, to look beyond your immediate circumstances, looking to the eternal realities of God, and particularly as that is focused in Jesus and His redemptive work. Number two, I think it's a step further. Again, something I did mention last week. If we're going to grow in our relationships, not only do we need to learn from the astronomer, we need to learn from the work of a zoologist. Again, simple definition. A zoologist is someone who studies the behavior, the origins, the genetics, diseases, and life progression of animals and wildlife. And if you remember last week, I touched on butterflies. Well, zoologists know about frogs and butterflies and much more. And they know about a process called metamorphosis. So metamorphosis, again, happens when there is a profound change that takes place in the organism from one stage or one state to another stage to another state. From a caterpillar to the pupa, from the pupa to the butterfly, or from the tadpole to the frog. Imagine trying to get a tadpole to jump. Imagine getting a caterpillar to fly. You can't. It is entirely different when that caterpillar becomes a butterfly, when that frog, that tadpole becomes a frog. And the lesson that Paul is showing us here is that all, and I want to emphasize the true believers, there are many people who profess belief, but all true believers have undergone a metamorphosis. There's a profound change that takes place, a new disposition, and an enabling, bringing about desires and a willingness for God glorifying holiness. If you have a look at verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly. So, the therefore is pointing backwards. It's pointing back to the place where Paul is saying to the Colossians, something we can learn, as those who have changed, those who have experienced this change, you have the ability to make choices to obey, to align with the will of God. That which has gone before in the passage, setting your hearts and minds on things above, is the natural thing to do for those who have, last week I used the words, a past and present history with Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1. Having been raised with Christ, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There's an identification, there's a spiritual union that takes place. So in other words, what we need to understand in our relationships, conversion must precede sanctification. Because when we are converted, we're willing to and have the ability to change, not just to be selfish and self-centered in what we want and desire. Sound conversion to Christ must take place for sanctification to spill over into relationships. I want to move on to a third one. Metamorphosis, of course, I don't know enough about zoology, but there may still be some remaining vestiges on the tadpole. But I do know a little bit about theology, and I do know that when Christians are converted, there are some remaining marks of sin. We don't become perfect people. And so our relationships can grow in harmony and joy when we learn from, this is another vocation, the work of an assassin. We've got to kill the sin. That's the bottom line. And the daily work of faith is about eradicating, eliminating any signs of life from the old sinful nature, those vestiges. And Paul says this in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You have a responsibility, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. So the command here is that we need to kill the enemy. And practically, perhaps the younger people can, maybe even older people, it means you should not be feeding the enemy. Because when you feed the enemy gets strong. And so don't give the enemy food and water. Which means we choose lifestyles that don't nourish and nurture and give strength and vitality to the enemy. And what does that mean? It means disciplining the eye and the mind, what you look at. It's disciplining what you think about. It's disciplining where you go. It means being more discerning about the books you read or the movies you watch or the songs you listen to or the places of entertainment. And so verse 8, but now you must rid yourselves of such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, the list is long. Filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self and its practices. It is death to sin and life in Christ. There's one more. Your relationship can grow in harmony and joy when you learn from the work. And I use two words here, a valet or a lady's maid. And many, many years ago, I remembered the series on TV called Downton Abbey. These sort of British, from another era. And Anna, the lady, she was the lady's maid to Lady Mary Crawley. And John Bates was the valet to Lord Robert Crawley, Earl of Grantham. Now you get the picture, the old British stuff. The point is, the lady's maid and the valet had the important responsibility in a context of formality and ceremony to ensure the right clothes were prepared and they were then to dress the lady and the lord. And so my thinking is, to make godly progress in relationships requires us to be the lady's maid or the valet. Verse 10, put on. It's got to be a putting on. Clothe yourself. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. It is possible. It is possible to walk this path of victory because of God's enabling presence. And have a look at verse 11. Yeah, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, speaking of the church, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. It's because of his presence in our lives. If his presence is there, meaningful change can take place. Again, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Put it on. Valet, ladies maid, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these, put on love, which binds them all together. And so, folks, you see in this passage today, godly living can lead, in fact does lead, to relationships that are harmonious. Where there are tensions, where there's brokenness, where there's separation, there has been a fracture because of selfishness, because of an unwillingness to share with others, and really an unwillingness to submit to the way of God. And verse 16, I'd like to come back to this one, God willing, in weeks to come. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So bottom line to this morning, I do believe relationships can succeed. Now, I don't know your own domestic situation, your work situation, perhaps even within the church, but as we're going to move on in weeks to come, wives submitting, husbands loving, children obeying, fathers not provoking, slaves obeying, masters being just and fair, even in the workplace, it will only happen when we experience the work of the astronomer, the zoologist, the assassin, and the valet. And so the challenge is to constantly be nurturing our hearts, your heart under God, my heart under God, and for God, in the way that we relate to others. And so verse 17 to end with, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So just so far, Lord, I do pray that we would be convinced of the importance of being sanctified, that we ought, Lord, to submit to your word and your way in putting off sin, and Lord, even being consumed with the reality of who you are as the God of glory. And I want to pray for relationships here today, Lord, whether it be in the context of a marriage, a husband and wife. Won't you, Lord, minister to them, and by your Spirit as believers, them finding each other and changing, conforming to your will and your way. Lord, even in the context of families with parents and children, or children and parents, pursuing that which is honoring to you, setting aside selfishness and looking, Lord, to that which is going to be pleasing to you. And even in the church, Lord, relationships are important. We want to be a church where we are able to serve one another and care for one another. Help us, Lord, to take our eyes off ourselves, looking to others as well. And so do continue to work in us, Lord, molding us and growing us in grace, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.